Here we go. Hello, friends. It's Caitlin and Shanika with Get Checkered. Get Checkered is part of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown and community supported. How are you? How was Vancouver?
Time is passing as we need it to sometimes. The weekend was really good, though. I got to get my mind off some pretty gnarly, not fun stuff. And it was great to just be there. Now, it was shit weather. I'm not going to lie. Apparently, they had sun the whole week. And then, as soon as I fly out, I arrive in, like, a rainstorm. And then we're doing... Saturday was okay, but a little bit of rain. Sunday, Nicole and I were walking through a full-on hailstorm. So we're like, what else do you do? I can't just sit around all weekend. So I walked in a hailstorm. That poor umbrella was not made for that.
Oh, no.
So it was an adventure. What else did we do? I feel like I'm just going to throw stuff out there. And people on the pod might be like, oh, nostalgic. Because so we watched Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, fun. I have not seen that in a long time, actually.
I've never seen that.
Never?
Wild. Let's just say the beginning song from Du Jour is Backseat Lover. And you guys go take a look at the lyrics. Singing along to that as a child, you shouldn't have been. But yeah, we were doing that. And then a quick little stint for Rat Race, because everyone knows a good Rat Race. And then I was like, oh, it's the race. Because, you know, it was on so late. But yeah, I got Nicole to watch it. Nicole's an official F1 girly.
Is she? It's probably because this race was a fucking mess. Like, she.
Dude, I'm like, if there's anything for you to be like comprehensively watching, it's this race.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Did you go to your margarita spot?
Not this time.
Oh.
Yeah, we took it pretty. Actually, okay. So I'm going to say we took it easy on the drinking, and we really did. But we did a bougie brunch, and because it was her birthday a few weeks ago, yeah. So we just did this, and it was at the Botanist, so it was in that Fairmont Pacific Rim. You stayed there,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
They do brunches, not cheap, but bougie and fun, and we just stopped. Yeah, it was good, and then we didn't drink after that. Maybe a little at a friend's house the night before, but it's fine. Also, I'm just going to spill my guts on how much I despised the airplanes this weekend. I don't know what was going on in Vancouver.
What airline was it?
WestJet.
Okay, interesting. You don't hear that often with WestJet.
Well, the fact I flew Lynx last time and it was smoother than this time, and that's saying a lot. They just, like, I don't know what was going on in Vancouver, man. It was, like, a cheer competition. There was, like, several softball competitions. There must have been a baby convention with the amount of families boarding these planes. Like, everything was happening. And so these flights were 100% full. And you know what happens with, like, completely booked flights? Like, the overhead bin space is not enough for everyone.
Yeah.
And the Vancouver to Calgary return, at least they were like, oh, like, probably you guys should start checking your bags for free before we get on the plane so we don't delay. Still had a delay because of it. But the flight from Calgary, it blew my mind how bad it was. They ran out of room with, like, 50% of people on.
Really?
And people were trying to fuss about it. And I'm like,
this is something you all should know as listeners of the podcast. I am a carry-on queen. I refuse to check bags and I lose my fucking mind if I have to check a bag, which is, I admittedly, like, insane behavior. Cause at the end of the day, like, your bag ends up there, but not really. Cause in Canada, we've had so many issues with lost baggage and then not being able to get paid out. Like, you can Google it, folks. All of the airlines in Canada are just not great.
Problematic. So yeah, everyone's wanting to do carry-on. Myself includes. You know, yeah. I got the silver tier with WestJet, so at least I go in the little zone 2 and I'm, like, guaranteed a spot.
Yeah.
But on the Vancouver to Calgary flight, the amount of zone 2 people was probably 1/3 of the full plane. And I'm like, am I going to have a spot? I was flabbergasted. And I think the like displeasure showed on my face pretty evidently because I'm like very annoyed. Do not talk to me, annoyed. And I'm like walking onto the little plane and all the flight attendants are like being extra cheery to me. And
yeah.
I'm like,
no, absolutely not.
So yes. The trip was great. The travel.
I don't even blame you though. Like truly, I think every time I visited you in Vancouver, how many times did I come out? Three? Yeah, three whole times. Look at that. I always had a flight problem. Like there was always a delay, like of some sort or something like that. I just don't know what it is. It's just such a mess. It's such a mess. And I can't check a bag. I can't do it. I had to do it too when we were going to Mexico. And I could not, my friend Maddie was like a few people behind us at bag drop off because there was one person for Sunwing, which I know we went to Sunwing, cheaper vacation, whatever, fine. But there's one person doing it for like a couple hundred people. And she was like, oh, Shan. And then like, I turned my head and I was just so angry because I've been waiting in the line for 30 minutes already. Oh my God. I cannot. I can't do it, folks. Don't ask us to check bags.
I need to find like a very rich husband with a very nice private jet. Running on sustainable fuel. But... Oh yeah. Anyways, that's pretty much all my updates.
Yeah.
What's your week too been?
My week was sort of uneventful weekend. I wasn't feeling so hot. So I just like honestly hung out with my partner. He's got a new place, which he had the easiest move of life, which is just so surprising. I don't even know. I've been trying to figure that out, Caitlin, truly, because he moved in on like a Tuesday or Wednesday evening and everything was like set up by like Thursday or Friday. Just everything. Everything is fine. It looks like he's been living there forever. And I'm like, the only thing he's missing is a ton of groceries, but it just was a thing. So it was really nice. It's got a really nice place. It's really quiet. It's his own, which is exciting. It's close to a lot of amenities, which is annoying because now that it's kind of, it's still not warm out here in Canada, but he's making me walk everywhere because he's like, it's only like 2 minutes. I'm like, I know, but it's cold. So my weekend was very, very, very uneventful. But I do want to brag about my founders, a lot of the ones I'm working with right now. We don't really talk about, I feel like we kind of talk about our jobs, but not really. But I just had such a good Monday because there's so many positive things. So three or four of the founders I work with got accepted to the Growth X Accelerator. And if you are a tech girly, you know, that's a huge deal. It's very competitive. So I'm very proud. And nearly half of the current cohort has ties to my team, which is huge. Okay. We're really good at what we do. And there was another one of the founders, or two of the founders I work with. They had this huge feature on Panasonic's website about some of the work that they're doing. So really exciting stuff. But that's truly the most exciting thing that's happened, other than the Australian GP, which was...
That's for sure.
It really is. Before we get into that though, Caitlin, our track backs.
Yeah, so they're done. Last year or the year before, so won't be repeating them for this episode, folks. Sorry, yeah. But you can go dig through. It won't take that long.
Exactly. Go listen to those. Of course. We wanted to highlight one quali thing that happened with the Australian GP. So Checo, which I feel like this was a telltale sign. If Checo, Sergio Perez, who's a seasoned driver, screws up lap one of qualifying, that maybe this is an omen, you know? He completely binned it, like beached the car in the first little gravel pit in qualifying. So totally pissed off, as you can imagine. And had to start at the back of the grid, but like I said, a bit of an omen, cold tires that first turn, we saw a lot of issues throughout the race about that. So
it's not good enough.
It was not good. But I will say, in the qualifying world perspective, really good to see Mercedes. They did a really great job.
They qualified, right?
Yeah, they qualified 2 and 3. And I know that I joked about it being a shitbox on wheels last week, but we know that like there's so many external factors, right, that impact the car. And that could be like the how close to sea level they are, what the weather is like. So I'm curious to try to get a handle on whether they actually have a good car or whether it's just good in Australia. You know what I mean? But for Mercedes, freaking first two rows, that doesn't happen. Not for this car. So no. It was really exciting. And I was asleep when all this was happening. So to wake up in the morning and see all of Twitter going crazy for Mercedes, being like, what's happening, was really exciting.
Nice.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about this like insane race day?
I think honestly, this is why people will be tuning into this episode.
I know. And something we should mention, obviously, with Caitlin being in Vancouver and me being at home, we didn't watch it together and we didn't debrief. So there's like a lot of things.
It's going to be hot takes.
Yeah, we want to cover. And there was a few times even before we started recording where I was like, oh, I want to. No. We should save it for the podcast. We should save it for the podcast because we just need to talk about the mess that was this race.
Yeah. And I think the way we can start this off is by saying it was historic. So this was a historic race. The first race in F1 history to have 3 red flags. Woo! And so we had 4 starts for this race, and it was wild. So why did Shanko run through why we had all these restarts? What happened with
them? So of course, the first start, really solid, regular, things were fine. And we were thinking we get a pretty standard race. However, we should mention this wasn't a red flag situation, but lap 1, we knew it wasn't going to be normal because Charles Leclerc situation out before the lap even got started. However, the first real red flag was Alex Albon oversteering and went straight into the gravel. And I need to get your hot take here. Before I list out the rest, because I don't know what happened. He just looked like he completely lost control of the car. Like he just really did not call the apex or the turn correctly at all.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly it. Like, so I think it was an oversteer and he ended up just like spinning off to the other side of the track into the gravel. And the commentators are saying that like he had been master. He's been fast in that corner all weekend.
Yeah, he was.
And so it's just like, did he push too hard?
Potentially. I mean, it's a thing, but it was really not funny. Maybe funny. Funny. To me, it was funny. When you just saw how much gravel went everywhere. And I was like, okay, you know, no big issue. It's fine. No, red flag. And
right.
I need to get your opinion on this because initially I didn't understand why they did the red flag, but when they showed how much like the folks had to clean up, I was like, I think they had to red flag it.
It was unfortunate that it was a red flag too for someone like George Russell.
Yeah.
Who they started off with just like a safety car, did they not?
Yeah.
For this, and so George pits in the he was in first place at this point,
leading the Grand Prix, folks,
because he's like, I'm going to save time by pitting under a safety car. Well, next lap it turns into a red flag, and so he buggered. You couldn't the strategist didn't really know that time.
Yeah, and to be honest, they made the right strategy call, but you know how these red flags go, like Formula One. As much as there's races that are so predictable, they're so unpredictable at the same time. Something else I wanted to mention about this first red flag was just how poorly they coordinated the drivers that were still on the course. So I don't know if you saw the clip of this, but they played this back in the checkered flag on Sky Sports, so like the after show that they have. Mm-hmm. But there was one driver, I can't remember who it was, but I think they must have got indicated that it was a red flag and they slowed down completely, but that corner is blind. So you just see all the drivers like come in so hot and then slam on the brakes and like narrowly miss hitting each other. So I think the FIA is probably going to get a bit of a talking to, because it was essentially everyone that was at the back of the grid that literally almost rear-ended each other all the way through. Like, it was multiple cars that did not see the other cars stop because that turn is so blind. But yeah, so one of the reasons why they red flagged it apparently is just because there was so much gravel that even if they had people go out and kind of clean it in between the drivers, that it would just take a long time. And then also seeing this whole incident with the corner being blind, I'm like, it actually would have been dangerous. Hmm. But I will say initially I was like, why the fuck are you red flagging it for gravel? I'm sorry.
Which was a lot of people's first instinct.
Yeah.
I think. So yeah, that was stop number one. run us through stop number
two. Yeah, so stop number two, I also don't understand what happened here. So Kevin Magnussen, who's honestly having a decent race, like, not, you know, nothing to write home about, but in terms of getting in trouble, which we now have seen sort of two incidences at this point of the race, he was doing a solid job. And I don't know what it is, but he comes out of a turn and I think just takes it too wide and then smokes the back tire on the wall. Just,
yeah, completely. You described it to me earlier really well. You're like, I think it's just a wider car than what K-Mag finished past a few years ago with. Yeah, he had last year under his belt, but still getting used to a wider car.
Yeah.
And it is kind of just like, didn't space himself, right? The tire hit the wall and blew right off?
It blew right off, rolling around, sparks everywhere. And then a post-race interview, they asked him, like, oh my gosh, did you, like, that must have been such a big impact. Like, how did that feel? He's like, I didn't feel anything. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't feel anything? We saw you feel everything. You were just trundling along. Like, oh my gosh. So that was red flag number two. And obviously because they need to grab that freaking tire and clean up all the debris of him just smoking the side of the wall.
So that is, folks, that is lap 55 of 58 this happened. Okay, keep this in mind. And that's red flag two. Now we have red flag three.
Caitlin, we're going to need both of us to talk about this because I don't even understand what happened here.
There's beef. I swear there has to be beef. But on lap 57, so after we restart, I think it's probably like lap 56, they've restarted and it's absolute chaos. Like Sergeant and DeVries end up at the back and they go off. Do you know what happened with them?
Yeah, so I was watching a video as like Caitlin and I were kind of just discussing this, a recap, and it basically was like everything went wrong simultaneously. And it comes back to just the tires being so cold on that first turn. Turn one, big issue. All the drivers talked about it in the post-race interviews, which we'll talk about. But what happened was we see Carlos Sainz like hit and spin Alonso.
Yep.
All the way around.
That was on, okay, we're on the right restart. Yeah, after restart two.
And as that's happening, you see behind him one of the Alpines, I can't tell which one, and Checo go really wide, trying to avoid like the situation in front of them. As that's happening behind them, you see the drivers hit the brakes to try and avoid it. And as they're doing that, you see Logan Sargeant and Nick DeVries, one of them, Nick DeVries, I think is in the AlphaTauri, right? He spins and they just both go into the gravel. And you're like, I don't even understand what just happened here.
So that's three spinny spins in one turn. But that's not what causes the red flag.
No, because as technically if, with that whole situation, I think like Alonso was able to save his car, I believe.
He just dropped quite a few spots.
He dropped quite a few spots. And I even think though, like, this is my opinion, I think you probably agree with me, but I do think that like everyone that gained an advantage would have had to give the spots back just because there was so much shit going on.
I have a hot take on this. And I think if it's that tight going into turn one, we have historically been like, that's a racing incident.
Ooh, okay.
I didn't think, and like, spoiler alert, Sainz got a penalty, right, for doing this. And yeah. I'm like, it's turn one.
Yeah.
After a restart. Like, how is that not a racing incident? Like, he definitely caused Alonso to crash, but.
And I think, like, my argument that supports you, I suppose, is that it was so nice to see, like, what was it? Nico Hülkenberg was in fourth at that point or something crazy. No, he was in a podium position.
Wild.
Yeah. Wild. And Yuki Tsunoda was fifth. Like, that's what was happening after they made it through this kerfuffle. Anyways.
Next.
Alonso spun around, fine. But as they're still going, you see the Alpines come back on track. Simultaneously,
it's Gasly. Gasly comes back on track.
He comes back on track. I don't know if he doesn't have any awareness of who his teammate is, but they just take each other out.
Yep. And Alpine 1-2 into the walls.
And this was a really good race for them, but both cars ended up in the wall. And as this is happening, you also see Lance Stroll go wide. And like, I don't know if he beached his car too, but I think he might have. Because he was cutting across gravel. And I'm like, I don't even.
What do you watch?
That's actually a very good point. What do you watch at that point when everyone is crashing in that? Like, no one died, but it's just like crashing.
It's the Alpines that caused the third restart. And yes. It's a significant crash. Like, you knew that was a red flag.
Yeah.
Now, after that red flag was called, though, it was quite interesting to hear them decide on the restart positions for the third time, right? Because they ended up going, reverting back to the positions everyone held after restart two.
Yeah.
So Alonso, even though he got bumped by Sainz, still gets to start in P3 for restart three.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Sainz, when was he told I think he was told at the end he has a penalty for doing that. When in the end, nothing happened to his position. like it was insane.
It was really, really bad. I felt for him so much because like you said, Caitlin, like it feels like it's just a racing incident. And the thing is, throughout the race, we saw with all these restarts, okay, even like the first start, let's just start there. Both Max and Alonso were quite timid at turn one. I know it doesn't seem like that because we watch them race and we see them be aggressive, but he wasn't as aggressive as he normally is. And we saw that with every single restart that he wasn't being as aggressive as he normally is. And it's because of the tire temp. Like, he kept saying the tire temp like isn't where it needed to be. And in the post-race interview, he was saying that too. He's like, it was just absolutely ridiculous. Like, we cannot keep the tires warm and it's like unsafe. And
the interesting thing is, it's like, it didn't work for him. It didn't work for Alonso, but it worked for Mercedes.
They just gunned it.
They killed their starts. Like the first start, not a restart. The first start, like, who is it? Georgie got the lunge on the mat. Like, it was beautiful.
And like fought and went through. And if that freaking car had any DRS, straight line speed, anything, they would have been run away with it. But it was
it shows promise for upcoming races. It does.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It really does. But I will, like, I just can't believe, Caitlin, how many people finished the race?
There's 12 number. 12 time stamps, right? Yeah.
12.
8 DNFs.
Finished the race. There were 8 DNFs.
And one of the DNFs we haven't touched upon yet because it didn't cause a red flag, but it's still a serious little incident. It's
maybe George. I know, maybe this is the way that we jump into our, like, winners and losers, hey? And I think I would argue that George is the biggest loser because because he was leading the Grand Prix and had such an opportunity. The strategy was going to work in his favor because he was the leading car. So the whole pitting under the safety car, all of it. And then it didn't work. So then he was kind of at the back, stuck, but that's okay. He had time, right? He had time to make up the spaces. The car's quick enough. He could overtake. And then the car, what happened?
The first mechanical failure for George in a Mercedes car is what happened. There was smoke and then fire.
And it was scary.
It was. And they treated it like so nonchalantly. And I'm like, you know, I'd be crying if I saw that.
I 100% agree. I thought that their reactions, so they cut to the Mercedes tent. They're space in the paddock and no reaction, which, like, I know Toto Wolff is like, you know, he rarely shows any reaction, but Adam, my partner, Adam was like fully sitting up at this point being like, George, get the fuck out of the car, because he stopped the car and then bigger flames came out of the car. And I was just like, oh my God, no. But total failure.
So they were saying, because like to us, it looked like there's just flames, straight up hot flames spewing out the back of the car. And they're like, oh, this is just very reminiscent of the old days, the V10s. And I'm like, oh, we were watching in those days. But I mean, for right now, that's not a normal thing we'd be seeing.
It was so scary. So scary. So it was really sad to see George so dejected. Like, you see him, the stewards come over. He pulled it over in a good spot too, so it like didn't impede the race. They were able to move it very quickly, but he's just like walking and like shaking his head because this was so the race that was supposed to go for him, and it just didn't happen, which was miserable for him.
Yeah, it was a could've race. But...
yeah, in the post-race interview, he didn't put the blame on anyone. He's like, honestly, like, the team made the right strategy calls, but like you can't predict any of the stuff that happened. So we're just gonna have to figure out what happened in terms of the power unit or what failed and like go forward from there. But you know, you could tell he was hurt, which made me sad because it was such a good weekend for Mercedes. And I think as George, like they are basically been told, right? Like the car's gonna be awful for a few races until the upgrades. Like that's literally what they've been told. So to be leading the Grand Prix, qualifying in P2, like these are opportunities that they just didn't think would happen, and he didn't get to fulfill what could have happened. Should we jump to a winner?
Let's do a winner. Okay, so my number one winner was all the spectators, because they got so much bang for their buck this weekend. They saw everything.
They so did. And it was so funny watching the after show, because they're like, okay, we're coming at you like an hour or so later than we normally would have. And I'm like, wow, they got those people that were there got an extra hour of just stuff, you know?
I'm pretty sure they got an extra hour and a half, if not closer to more.
Yeah. Like, and you had little breaks, you know, like you with one of the restarts, you have like 10 minutes, you can go run, get a beer, come back. Like, exactly. You've got time to really enjoy it. I don't know.
But that ties it really well to another loser being us here on the west coast of North America trying to stay awake.
It was so most of the people I follow on Twitter who are Formula One girlies, I think are just all over the US. So when I woke up is when they were watching the race, versus like, I think people just didn't stay up for it. So they watched one out of the week, but I was just like, oh my gosh, you're reliving or you're living what I experienced 4 hours ago. It was difficult to stay up. I didn't stay up last year either. I fell asleep like immediately. So this was not that surprising. I fell asleep again and had to watch the ending in the morning.
Well, I know I texted Shanika at this lap 57 chaos. I'm like, oh my God, the chaos.
I had no
idea. The drama. And I don't get a response. And I'm like, yes, bitch.
I was asleep. I was dead to the world.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. Like, I thought Caitlin was talking about, you know, the Charles Leclerc, Alex Albon, K-Meg situation. Even the K-Meg one I heard, I didn't see. So I thought that kind of stuff. No, I did not know what I was prepared to watch in the final laps, closing laps of this race. So no. I agree. Difficult to stay up, which is interesting. We need to dive into that because we can stay up if we're going out on the town. But,
you know what we should do next time? Next Australian GP, hit us up with espresso martinis. That keeps me wide awake.
Go to the bar. Have a good time.
Best thing ever.
Oh, that's what we should have done. We should have had a bar night with this one. It would have been the best one too, because it was just insane. I don't think anyone could be upset with us having this on a TV screen, because it's like,
everyone would be happy. There would have been no hearing what's going on. Everyone would have been yelling. But we'll throw another winner in there. Shani, who's another winner in your opinion?
Oh, I would say Lewis Hamilton. I think he really needed it. So he finished P2 and he looked really happy. Did you watch any of the post-race interviews? He looked super happy.
Good.
Like more smiley than last time. He's like, no, this is a great result. All that kind of stuff. And honestly, he had a good race. And he just, even with George, when George was George leading? George was behind? I can't remember. But did you hear the radio where...
Oh, when George like Lewis was just pushing up on George and George was...
Like, do you want me to just have the tires? Do you want me to push him? How can I do that with my teammates pushing? Like, I was just like...
Yeah, like Lewis was gunning this race. And when he made the lunge on Max, after the first restart, I think it was. He made a lunge that Max, of course, comments, which, yes, but there was enough room.
Yeah.
So
100%. And I thought there was some improvement in Max, because I think if it had been 2021, I think Max would have held on to that like little situation until the end of time. He said it once. And then when his team said, okay, they're just not, the stewards aren't going to do anything about it, he's like, okay, and continued racing. Mm-hmm. Lewis was super aggressive. And even though, the Mercedes isn't fast, so when Max got past him and was just kind of pulling away-ish, and I say ish because Max didn't really run away with it. He was still, a couple seconds above everyone else. But Alonso in the post-race interview was saying, he was like, Mercedes, it was really hard to get close to them. And I was like,
we know Alonso was pushing Lewis to the point where Lewis is on the Aston Martin's fast. Yes.
Yes, Martin is fast. But also with this track, it's really hard to follow, apparently. So maybe that's it too. I don't know. But Alonso was saying, he was like, the pace, the Mercedes was fast, it was hard to follow. And Lewis always had a little bit in him. Like anytime Fernando got up close and personal or closer, Lewis would speed up just enough to make sure he wasn't in DRS and continue on his merry way.
Sounds like a true world champion.
Yeah. And honestly, I wish you had caught the post-race interview, because it was so interesting to hear Fernando Alonso talk about Lewis's driving. So he was like, I tried to force him to make a mistake. There was only one place in like this very specific lap where I saw him, slip up a little bit, but I couldn't do anything. Like, he's just watching so technically at what Lewis was doing. He even, the lap that he like said he saw Lewis screw up, he actually said a specific turn where he saw Lewis like screw up a little. And I was like, that is just like season pro shit where you're like, I'm trying to force a mistake. I'm watching this guy lap after lap to see where he's making mistakes so I can take advantage of it. And he's like, I just didn't see it. I saw one tiny one and that was it. And it wasn't enough for me to do anything about it.
Well, okay. So we know Lewis doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but you know what? This reminds me of, for no good reason. Do you remember Baku last year? Mm-hmm. The year before, 2021 Baku, when on a restart, Lewis goes too hot and can't make the turn and go straight.
He just went straight.
Lewis can't make mistakes. He pushed hard enough. That was hilarious. I don't know why I thought of that, but that was a ton.
Caitlin, I thought about that one. And do you remember when Valtteri took everyone out that one race?
Was that the Hungaro ring?
I think so. It was one of the races where he just like took out five cars. That's what I thought about this time too. I was like, what is going on? Anyways, I just thought it was like good for Lewis in terms of momentum and like his spirit. Because race, he didn't seem very happy. Even though George did well, he like didn't seem very happy.
Yeah. And like he didn't have the pace to deserve first, to be honest.
No. I agree.
But a second place in the car they're in right now should be very promising in his eyes, I think.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with that for sure.
It's bueno. Okay, so we're talking about Lewis. A big loser. Take your pick.
I don't know if I'm gonna say Alpine.
Okay, we're gonna go the Alpine route. Yeah.
They were having Pierre Gasly was having a very, very strong race. Mm-hmm. Up until this like blind spot, not seeing situation. Like he was holding on to P5, holding off the other drivers as best he could, doing a really, really good job. And I don't think anyone was expecting that from Alpine at all. Both cars were in the points, which we know in this sport is really, really important for the constructors. And I don't know how it happened.
It's just like, embarrassing.
Like expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah, like really expensive to make sure these cars are fixed. Like that is not fun.
And I can't say that helps their relationship.
Mm-mm. So I can give you some insight. In the post-race interviews, Pierre I love the interviews a little bit because it was very men a lot of the time get told like not to share their emotions and stuff like that. But the drivers that really struggled with this race or had a hard time. So Pierre, he was like, you could see it on his face. He's like, honestly, like, I don't even want to talk right now. Like, I'm just so disappointed with everything. Like, I'm just so disappointed. And he was like very honest, which I thought was really good. Cause I think it is really shitty and kind of intrusive sometimes that they go through this and then they have to go get interviewed right away when you're like dealing with all the emotions of it. Mm-hmm. Esteban was like, you know, this was like a decent weekend for us. Pierre already apologized to me. Like, we're fine. We're just going to go forward from here. So from Esteban's like body language and face, it didn't seem like he was taking anything personally. He even said, he's like, it's not like, it's, you know, this stuff happens. Like, it just is what it is kind of thing.
Yeah. That's very mature of both of them. And yet I don't think they're both that mature in real life. So. That's a hot take. I'm sorry. it's very unfortunate for the team as a whole because they deserve some good points with how well the car was performing.
Yeah, and then they didn't get any.
Yeah. On to the next one. This is only race three.
Yeah. Fine. And there was also another team that didn't get points, right? It was Williams.
Sargent and Albon, yes.
Yeah, which also wasn't great because Albon was in the points, but, you know, shit happens.
Now, to turn this round upside down, a team that got points, double points, for the first time this season.
McLaren!
Yeah, and Piastri getting points, his first F1 points, at his home race. Like, that's pretty boss.
Yeah.
So that was a win for us, I think.
Yeah, 100%. And honestly, even though Lando said it best in his post-race interview, we just stayed out of trouble, which is honestly, with this race, all you really needed to do was to, like, mind your P's and Q's, make sure that you're not hitting anyone, make sure that, hey, maybe your tires aren't warm, so maybe don't go crazy turn one to three. Like, if you do that, you will be fine. And that's kind of what worked in their favor. Like, they were quick too. I will say Lando did some really great overtakes. So got some racing in, which is always good. And he wasn't just racing his teammate, which is also good. So I thought, like, overall, they capitalized on just a lot of things going poorly. And I think when we talk about momentum and just, like, support for the drivers, but also the rest of the team, the people at the factory, just to have both cars finish in the points after what's been, like, a less than stellar season start, I think it just helps with morale a little bit.
I think it was needed for sure.
Yeah.
How many jokes were going into this week? I mean, like, Daniel Ricciardo still has the same amount of points as McLaren.
There's also so many Zach Brown memes that are just, like, kind of shitting on him for not doing a good job. Thanks. I don't want to say that because I don't know. But, I mean, buck stops with him. And if this car is not...
a shitty deal on Danny Rick, like he did.
Yeah. Have you watched that episode of Drive to Survive?
Nope.
I haven't either. I don't want to watch it. Like, I don't want to watch Daniel be upset. Like, I don't want to watch.
Shanika, I'll watch it with you.
Yeah, we'll make plans to watch it together. Because I'm like, I cannot watch that. But
Daniel Rick was, like, all over everything this weekend, which was, like, really nice to see. There's still so much love.
I agree. And to be honest, with them being in Australia, I did miss his presence. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because of course he was everywhere for everything, but he doesn't have the same sort of presence as if he had a seat. So It was just, I kind of missed it. Honestly, I just kind of missed it.
It's different.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was nice to see his face, but I wish we had more, like, Daniel being Daniel at the track.
Daniel, exactly. But okay. So that was the McLaren. Another loser. Do we want to talk about Ferrari again?
I want to cry for them. And they
have you seen Charles is DNF, seventh place, and then DNF again in the three races?
I don't even, like, he overshot, you know. I'm like, I don't even know what to say. Turn one, cold tires, not great. He overshot it. It's fine, whatever. But what I want to know, Caitlin, is after the race, there was this, like, a clip that's kind of floating around where Charles says something to Carlos, and Carlos's reaction is, like, quite, like, he has a really strong reaction. But none of us have the audio. Like, none of us know what they're saying.
What did he say? Like, what kind of expression?
He was just like a little shocked, a little surprised.
Charles is saying, I'm quitting Ferrari next race.
And you can't see, like, you can't read lips or anything because it's just Charles's back. So you're like, fuck, what's going on? Ferrari, freaking just, I don't even know. I mean, driver error, obviously. We can't blame a strategist on the first thing. Yeah. But I'm going to give credit to Carlos. He was doing so well, like, so well. He was being really fast. There were several times the commentators were saying that he was at the same speed as Max or going faster than Max in certain sections or certain sectors of the track. So for him to just screw up.
Well, like, that's the thing. Like, was it a screw up or was it a racing incident? I'm on the board of it was a racing incident. So I'm siding with him, which I probably normally would too, but did you hear that when they told him about it? He's like, no, let me talk to them.
You start crying?
No, he did cry. I'm making that emotional.
No. I heard that people, like, in some of the interviews, they were saying that, yeah, he was, like, really upset and crying. And I was like, I don't think he was crying. Was he crying?
He was just like, no, let me talk to them.
Yeah.
Which, like, fair. But did he get to talk to them? No, because he ended in 12th. Even though he finished 4th, with the fact that that last lap is not a racing lap,
it was that's the issue, though.
Coming
right?
out of the, yeah, so they were all bunched together. So 5 seconds did damage to his place. So
100%.
Was, Ferrari coming out of Australia? Nothing.
Yeah. And it was, he was another one in the post race interview saying, like, I'm just so upset right now. I, like, don't even want to, like, so upset. And he was saying that this is the most unfair penalty I've ever gotten or anyone's ever gotten in their life.
Well, like, Fernando got the spot back. Like, what?
But I, you know, through this conversation, I'm inclined to like go with you. I do think it's, what are you going to do if the tires are cold? Like there's
on
nothing.
Turn one. Man,
yeah. I don't know. Poor Carlos.
Oh yeah. That was a big yikes for poor boy Carlos.
I felt so bad for him because he was doing so well. Like another person, like Pierre with Alpine, just doing so well. And it just did not come together, or it something did come together in the worst way.
On a somewhat related note, something's going on in the cosmos this week, this month. If anyone knows what's happening and why things are shit.
Oh, okay.
It'd be great to know.
I agree. We need to know. I was thinking that too. I'm like, something's in the air. We just don't know what it is.
Right? Because that's not normal. This race was not normal.
No. Caitlin, you want to give us your last winner?
Okay. I am going to say my second last winner.
Oh, we got another one?
I had a surprise one on you afterwards. But okay. I'm going to put Aston Martin. Yeah. They came in P3, P4 at the end of all that catastrophe cluster sparkle stuff. Yeah, so that's huge points for them. And maybe by luck with the way that restart was. But yeah, like they had a great car. Alonso was definitely on the tail of Lewis in second for quite some time. Great race, honestly. Great race. And did you see the mechanics in the garage when Sainz did hit Alonso and their face was just like, no. It was kind of funny. And then, you know, didn't matter in the end. His car was fine, which is pretty lucky, actually.
He's like super, super lucky. I actually want to add in another winner, a bit of a surprise winner for me. I know he's, you know what? Actually, I'm going to put him in the loser category. I'm going to give a different winner. Nico Hülkenberg.
Oh, fun.
Okay. Us in the points, P7, even though he at one point was in a literal podium position. I think really good for Haas.
Mm-hmm. That's his strongest race yet then, right?
And also what was wild is Caitlin, if they had kept the podium positions the way that it was, so Max, Lewis, and Nico Hülkenberg, would that be the first podium in his entire career?
I don't know.
Because I don't think Nico Hülkenberg has ever
podiumed.
Ever podiumed, right? Like he's gone his entire career not winning a race last time I checked. So hold on. Oh my gosh. Zero podiums.
In F1 though, right?
In F1. Yeah. Holy crap. And he's had 184 starts. So
that would have been so cute.
Yeah. I really was hopeful, but you know, maybe the next race things can go wrong again. Just kidding. Okay, do you have any other losers?
Yeah. The big one, in my opinion, the FIA looking like effing clowns.
Hey, do you think so? Yeah. Tell me why.
I'm like, why are you guys like the one with what was it, K-Mag? People are also saying, like, why is this a red flag? Right? And then you do it on such a late lap. And then they restart for a standing start. And you just knew it was going to be chaos with three laps to go. And it's just like, you guys asking for spectatorship? Because it was very spectator full. But, like, traumatic for so many. So, yeah, you know what? FIA. And, like, the whole racing incident stuff kind of threw me for a loop. Because I'm like, if we're trying to create consistency, it just got thrown out the window for that kind of topic, in my opinion. Again.
Your opinion. Okay, so I'm going to counter you a little. The commentators were saying in terms of, like, going back to the order that existed. After restart number three. Going back to that specific old order, apparently it's by the book. Like you go, but because no, not all the cars have made it through turn one. If they did, then they would have changed it. So there's like little areas where I feel like they got it right. I thought the gravel call initially was stupid, but then when I saw how many people it took to clean it and then the blind spot, I was like, okay.
But also that could have, I can counter that too and say, yeah, it's going to take a long time, but that's at the beginning of the race. There was time. But honestly, that restart didn't cause any drama. It was the K-Mag one, lap 55. And you just knew it was going to be chaotic. And it was more than anyone could have thought.
Like, fair. And I think the big question mark ends up being like, when you have the drivers complaining about keeping the tires warm the whole time, this is not just like happened once. It was a constant thing. You also can hear the commentator say, oh, like Max is not being as aggressive, Alonso's not being aggressive, what's going on here? Is it an unsafe call, like you're saying or alluding to have these continuous
like there's
standing starts.
Is that a rolling start or something? Yeah. But a standing start on that lap was asking for trouble, and they got trouble.
Yeah. So ooh. I actually see your point now, because if they're the ones that set this up, why are they even giving Carlos a penalty? Yeah. Okay. I get it. If they're the ones that made that choice.
I cannot handle them. But also, speaking of the FIA, you know who was in attendance this weekend, right?
Who was in attendance?
Michael Massey.
Was he actually? Oh.
I hear it was his first time back on an F1 paddock.
Could you imagine being that infamous?
No.
I would wear a hat, glasses, a fake mustache. Like, I would just hide from the world.
You know what? He might have thought he was past all that. And then it's like a last lap restart just
brings it all back. It really does. Like, I was telling my coworkers, I was like, there's two sporting incidences that I just like, I have a hard time stomaching. Was it the 2004 Stanley Cup playoffs for us?
Oh, it was in the
past. Yeah. Like, never ask a Calgary Flames fan or like anyone in Calgary. You don't even have to be a fan, but just anyone in Calgary that was alive during that time period. No, traumatic. And the second one is Abu Dhabi. So yeah, if I was Michael Massey, I would not want to even be around.
Yeah. That is a level of infamy for sure.
Yeah. I do have one more loser, by the way. By the by, I will say Sergio Perez, and not for the reasons people think. So Sergio, of course, binned it in qualifying, like just did not work out for him. And we've seen him work out from the back of the grid. He finished in, what was it,
He was five after all that.
After all that, he was P5. So I think most people would be like, that's such a great showing. However, he is going toe-to-toe with his teammate for world champion right now. He is second in the standings. Mm-hmm. He made sure to snag fastest lap at the end to make sure he has that extra point. And you and I have had this theory that we think it might get contentious if Sergio continues to do well. The next race is Baku, right? Mm-hmm. Street race. Sergio goes crazy on street races. He just wasn't even happy with his own performance. And I was like, why is he not happy? You know, P5 is huge. It's a huge recovery drive. But at the heart of it, it's because he wants to become world champion. He's in a car that can get him there. And now he's like not significantly far behind, but quite far behind his teammate. And we've talked about Abu Dhabi today, but we know that those like little points matter. Right. Mm-hmm. It could be that one fastest lap. It could be that one race, like Lewis going straight. It was Baku, right? Yeah. Instead of like actually racing where he probably could have won and then we wouldn't go into the final race. Like, you know what I mean? So I felt, even though his performance was strong, just the way that he was reacting and the reality of what this meant.
Interesting.
I feel like he's a bit of a loser this weekend, which kind of sucks.
I love the hot take.
Yeah.
I was half thinking I was going to put him as a winner. Glad I did. You make valid points. He's not the worst loser of the day.
No.
And He had some great overtakes. That corner nine. Right? Like, they're like, do we name this the Checo corner?
Yeah. It was, and the interviews afterwards, Christian Horner was saying, Checo was racing like he didn't have three kids at home.
I hate that. Can you not say that, Christian?
It's funny. I was like, yeah, like he kind of was just full send the whole time. Sergio was just like, I am going to work my ass off, which is what sucks even more, right? Like, worked so hard and couldn't make it up further. Like, he simply did not. I think he could have had enough laps, but just with how many were behind a safety car, just didn't work in his favor. So
yeah.
I just thought that was funny as shit. I'm sorry. Okay, so our final lineup was Max Verstappen, winner. This is third one in a row.
Yeah,
first one in Australia in like years.
Yeah.
I think it was like maybe 2011.
Oh girl, I don't know. Something. He was racing in 2011, was he?
Max. I don't know if he was. I don't think, like, I think the Red Bull team in general has.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Lewis Hamilton in second, Fernando Alonso in third, followed by Lance Stroll, who we covered, Sergio Perez.
Which is such a powerful podium. Let's just take a second to recognize this.
Yeah, huge.
Anyone else have world championships? Hmm?
But also, is Max 3 for 3 right now? Sergio 1-1.
Sergio 1-1. So Max is like 2.75.
Yeah. And Alonso, though, has been in P3, I think, all three.
Mm-hmm. He's P3 king right now.
There you go. So in P6 was Lando Norris. P7, Nico Hülkenberg.
P8. Wait, who is 4-5? Go over 4-5?
Oh, 4-5 was 4, Lance Stroll. 5, Perez. 6, Lando Norris. 7, Hülkenberg. 9, Oscar Piastri.
8, Oscar Piastri. Sorry,
8, Oscar Piastri. 9, Guan Yu Zhou. 10, Yuki Tsunoda.
Which is also super exciting because he's been 11th too many times.
He wasn't happy about it, though, because he said, you know, after all the incidences, had they just, like, not changed the order, he would have been, like, a
E7. Mm, yeah.
And I'm just like, oh,
you
God.
You can take what you can get, honey.
I know, truly. And that's the thing. He's like, yeah, but it's good. It's good to get a point. But still, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Valtteri, he was MIA this whole race. So P11, truly, he even said, truly. He was like,
yeah, no.
And then last, but not least, Carlos Sainz with P12.
Who finished again, y'all, fourth. Thank you, 5-second penalty.
Yeah.
Because between Max down to 12th position Sainz with his added 5 seconds is only 6.6 seconds.
Yeah.
Between those 12 drivers.
And it's because of finishing behind a safety car.
Mm. Well, yeah, the safety car left and they had to, like, do the lap before they would have just gone crazy. So it was not a racing last lap.
No. And in terms of the DNFs, we cover them extensively, but gotta know Pierre, Esteban, so one whole team, Nick DeVries with AlphaTauri, Logan Sargeant with the Williams, also Alex Albon with the Williams, so another whole team, K-Mag, of course, with the just tire situation, George Russell, and then Charles Leclerc, who was the first DNF. No words. Do you think Netflix was there this weekend? And if so,
they would be hating themselves if they missed this.
What team? You know, that's what I want to know.
I think they should do a full pit wall walk for this kind of race.
Yeah.
Every team in the mall?
It's what I would do. Why not, everyone? This is one of those that I think will go down in history.
It is. It's historic.
It is historic. Oh.
Let's not aim to beat this Guinness World Record, though.
No. No more.
If they have it as a category, it would be a Guinness World Record.
Yeah. No more. Please, no more. I'm trying to think if there was anything else in the post-race stuff to mention. I would say there was some speculation about Max's start, where he looked like he was ahead of the white line through like the overhead camera angle, which we know. Who got penalized for that last time? I think it was Fernando.
It was Ocon. God.
Okay, there you go.
And then Fernando, right?
Yeah. So
what I heard is they made the boxes a little bit bigger.
Yeah, so from that top angle, it looked like it. And then everyone was like, what's going on? What's going on? But then from every other angle, his wheels were in, like, touching the right place. So shadows, trick of the eye, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. That's kind of what got in the way. Toto had the same question as me, just around the viability of the car. He's like, obviously, this was awful for George, but like, good weekend for Lewis. However, we don't know if, like, it's the car or just Australia. That kind of uncertainty is still lingering for the team. So it's, yeah, he seems fine at the end of the day. And then who's the other one? Christian Horner, also fine, you know, like nothing to, he just didn't seem overly excited. I think it was partly because like you end at such a slow pace or whatever. But he did hop on the radio to congratulate Max right away, saying that it was like one of the, they hadn't won in Australia in so long, all that kind of stuff, but nothing super exciting on that front. But yeah, it was just a race. The drivers were upset and it was awkward to watch their interviews, to be honest. I'm going to be real honest.
It looked like they had a beautiful day though. It looked amazing to be there. And witness all of this. A great day. Now, I pulled up the 2022 results. Do you want to go through this for fun? Just to see what the differences are?
Yeah.
Biggest difference being Charles Leclerc won it last year. And he was the first one out lap one this year. Who else do I see? Alonso was 17th last year. The last of the finishers. He came third this year. Lots of people finished that didn't finish this year. But honestly, that's about it. Russell beat Hamilton.
Okay.
Boxster, 3 and 4. And I wonder if Russell had been able to stay in.
Would he beat him?
Yeah.
I think he would have, just because in terms of like tire strategy, he was on kind of the right, like he pitted when he needed to.
But then Lewis got a pit like a lap afterwards in the red flag.
Yeah, just because the red flag. What I was going to say is like if there wasn't a red flag, then I think he had a real chance of beating Lewis this time around. It's like such a weird dynamic, hey? Like where you're trying to win for your team, like as a team, because you all need the points. Like, but you're also going against each other, which is just the strangest dynamic. Like you want
to, I think like Mercedes is going to have to start being careful too, because they have two powerful drivers, just like Red Bull does, just that like Ferrari does, and we know there can be headbutts. They've had it before in Mercedes. They can deal with it.
Yeah, and you know, Lewis always says like Valtteri is the best teammate, and I think the conversation might be that like Valtteri appeased like his teammate a lot. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that with George, that George will, I think like George may make that call if it gets to like, you know, the final few races and it's neck and neck between Lewis and Max. But like Valtteri did it for almost his entire stint at Mercedes. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that George will be willing to do that. So I completely agree. And I do feel like the tension between Max and Checo is going to just continue to build, FYI. Like, I just think, seeing how Checo reacted and how Max reacted after the last race, where he was like, I don't race to be second. I was like, this is just, this is not good.
Excited though, to see another street race where we know Checo can thrive.
Yeah. I wish I could find that meme, but there's like a very specific meme where people, it's like two versions of Checo. And one version is him at the regular track and he's like a cutie little dog. And then Checo at a street track is like a giant wolf, like with baring teeth, like ready to go crazy. So I'm like, I agree. Like, that seems accurate. So our next race, we actually have a lot of time, Caitlin. It's at the end of the month.
Yeah, why?
Easter break, spring break.
Spring break, yeah.
I don't know. The drivers need it, maybe, potentially.
Yeah, fair enough. So 3 weeks until Azerbaijan. Shaduk and I, we'll do an episode in between.
Yeah, we will do one in between. We have to highlight the new drivers.
Yeah.
Talk about their zodiac signs. I don't even know what signs they are. Like, how are we supposed to, you know?
Right. Yeah, we'll go over that. We'll learn about them.
So, yeah. Anyways.
I think that's it. It was a very chaotic race, but I think it's good. Shanika and I both got to like sleep it off and like reevaluate our emotions before. If we had to record immediately after that, I would have been speechless.
Also, I would have been like half asleep. Yeah. That's something that made me.
Well, you were asleep.
I was asleep.
I couldn't even watch the podium. I was like, oh, I'm done. It was like earlier.
Yeah, I'm like, I did not watch anything. I didn't even on the like rewatch of the end. I didn't watch the podium. I was like, okay, boys, you're good. It's fine. I'm out of here.
That's exactly sped time.
Okay, everyone. Well, you'll hear from us soon. Stay checkered. Yeah.
Stay checkered, friends. I'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, everyone.